Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. Official says MOU signing paves way for Indonesia's 2025 Hajj preparation. Minister Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono says cooperation with Japan supports resilience infrastructure. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno says free nutritious meals improve the quality and traditions of food. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the first news, where head of Indonesian Hajj Organizing Agency Muhammad Irfan stated that the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding MOU between the Government of Indonesia and Saudi Arabia signifies the commencement of Indonesia's 2025 Hajj preparation. As reported by Antara State News Agency, in a statement on Monday, Irfan expressed appreciation for the commitment and positive response of the Saudi Arabian Ministry of Hajj and Umrah Minor Hajj regarding various proposals put forward by the Indonesian government. Earlier on Sunday, Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Nasaruddin Umar and Saudi Arabian Minister of Hajj and Umrah Taufik bin Fauzan Al Rabiah in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, inked an MOU on the 2025 Hajj, whose management in Indonesia will be managed entirely by the agency. Indonesia will dispatch 221,000 Hajj pilgrims this year. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono appreciates Japan's support for infrastructure development in Indonesia. Official statement from the Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure on Monday said, Minister Agus emphasized the importance of cooperation to improve connectivity, reduce logistic costs, and face the challenges of climate change. Japan is also expected to share experiences in building resilience and environmentally friendly infrastructure. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno said on Monday the Free Nutritious Meal Program MPG can improve the quality and healthy eating traditions of Indonesian children, especially for the lower middle class. Pratikno said the program has been launched in 26 provinces with 190 service kitchen points. The Free Nutritious Meal Program target will increase to 937 points by the end of January 2025. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fishery KKP has successfully developed a downstream model for micro and small enterprises, UMK, by involving coastal communities for crab commodities. Directorate General of Strengthening the Competitiveness of Marine and Fisheries Products, Budi Sulistyo, said on Monday it has a production capacity of up to 50 kilograms of whole crabs per day. Budi explained the mini plant processes crab raw materials before being sold to fish processing units or UPI and exported to the United States. Chairman of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency at the Indonesian House of Representatives Mardani Alisera called on the parliaments of the ASEAN Parliamentary Assembly APA to fight for restoring UNRWA's role in protecting Palestinian refugees through parliamentary diplomacy. Mardani, in his statement, said on Sunday that he asked APA countries to reject unilateral efforts that reduce UNRWA's financial and operational capabilities as mandated in UN Resolutions 302 of 1949. Mardani emphasized four fundamental issues in the Palestinian struggles: territorial boundaries, the right of return, refugee status, and access to clean water. Indonesian national football team coach Patrick Clifford said he enjoys the pressures and is ready to lead the team to qualify for the 2026 FIFA World Cup in North America. Clifford said came after its former South Korean coach, Shin Tae-yong, built the team for 5 years, and Indonesia is currently in third place in the qualifiers with 6 points from 6 matches. As reported by Antara News Agency in an introduction session in Jakarta on Sunday, Clifford emphasized that there was no other choice but to win the 4 remaining matches. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that increasing the Multilateral Development Bank or MDB lending capacity is needed to accelerate the energy transition to developing countries. Antonio Guterres, at the opening of the 15th General Assembly of the International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA, in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, Sunday local time, highlighted the lagging of developing countries, including Indonesia, in carrying out the energy transition. Guterres said that since 2016, developing countries have only received $1 in $5 of global investment for clean energy. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on big role of funding sector in addressing climate challenges. I'm Dalot Pane. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke at the opening of the 15th International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA, assembly in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, on Sunday. The assembly, joined by delegates from 170 member countries, was aimed accelerating the renewable energy transition, the way forward. One of the key points in addressing the UN Secretary General was the financial issue faced by developing countries. According to Antonio Guterres, loan capacity improvement for the Multilateral Development Bank, MBD, was needed to accelerate energy transition for developing countries. The 15th IRENA Assembly focused on tripling renewable energy capacity by 2030, with increased ambition in nationally determined contributions NDC 3.0, supporting the transition and harnessing innovative financial flows in developing countries. Financial challenges are usually arise as the world tries to move forward, considering the uneven quality of the economies of countries in the world. That is why the Climate Change Conference, COP29, meeting in Baku, Azerbaijan last November, focused discussions on efforts to increase climate finance. At that time, COP29 agreed on climate finance target of $300 billion per year for developing countries by 2025. At the COP29 meeting, Indonesia succeeded in obtaining a green funding agreement of 1.2 billion euros. The funds came from the Kreditans slot for weather rollout for the electricity sector. Indonesia itself was projected to need green financing of up to $281 billion. Despite financing sources might come from the private sector and cooperation between countries, the existing funding is still far from ideal. Another important issue in achieving the acceleration of the energy transition is the support of state regulations on climate change and the design of the energy transition from fossils to clean energy. However, the financing aspect is very urgent and requires international support, especially from large countries. The world wished that the first energy conference in 2025 could produce real results for efforts to maintain the Earth's temperature and improve the climate. Hopefully, the positive achievements at COP29 last November can be replicated so that the world does not lose hope in facing the climate challenges that are increasingly felt by everyone. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nicole Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
is today's commentary on big role of funding sector in addressing climate challenges. I'm Dalat Paneh. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke at the opening of the 15th International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA, assembly in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, on Sunday. The assembly, joined by delegates from 170 member countries, was aimed accelerating the renewable energy transition, the way forward. One of the key points in addressing the UN Secretary General was the financial issue faced by developing countries. According to Antonio Guterres, loan capacity improvement for the Multilateral Development Bank (MDB) was needed to accelerate energy transition for developing countries. The 15th IRENA Assembly focused on tripling renewable energy capacity by 2030, with increased ambition in nationally determined contributions NDC 3.0, supporting the transition and harnessing innovative financial flows in developing countries. Financial challenges are usually arise as the world tries to move forward, considering the uneven quality of the economies of countries in the world. That is why the Climate Change Conference COP29 meeting in Baku, Azerbaijan last November focused discussions on efforts to increase climate finance. At that time, COP29 agreed on climate finance target of $300 billion per year for developing countries by 2025. At the COP29 meeting, Indonesia succeeded in obtaining a green funding agreement of €1.2 billion. The funds came from the Kreditan Slot for Wederopbou for the electricity sector. Indonesia itself was projected to need green financing of up to $281 billion. Despite financing sources might come from the private sector and cooperation between countries, the existing funding is still far from ideal. Another important issue in achieving the acceleration of the energy transition is the support of state regulations on climate change and the design of the energy transition from fossils to clean energy. However, the financing aspect is very urgent and requires international support, especially from large countries. The world wished that the first energy conference in 2025 could produce real results for efforts to maintain the Earth's temperature and improve the climate. Hopefully, the positive achievements at COP29 last November can be replicated so that the world does not lose hope in facing the climate challenges that are increasingly felt by everyone. That was commentary.
We begin today's history with the event of 13th January 1982. An Air Florida plane accidentally crashed. Air Florida Flight 90 crashed into the Potomac River, Washington, D.C., United States, on January 13, 1982. The Boeing 737-222 aircraft with the registration code N62AF had killed 78 people. The plane crash occurred only 3.2 kilometers from the White House. According to History.com, the plane, which took off from Washington National Airport in Virginia, hit the 14th Street Bridge and hit seven vehicles there. Finally, the plane fell into Potomac River, whose surface was covered with frozen ice. Let's move on another event in 2001. El Salvador was rocked by an earthquake measuring 7.6 magnitude shook the Republic of El Salvador on January 13, 2001. The earthquake lasted about 40 seconds when local people were relaxing at homes on holidays. As a result, many residents were crushed by the collapse of their houses. The earthquake, which occurred in the Central American country, also caused damage to electricity and telephone network. Thus, it made it difficult to disseminate information and distribute aid. San Salvador Airport was also closed. We end today in history with the event on 13 January 2012, the Costa Concordia ship stranded. Costa Concordia is a Concordia-class cruise ship owned and operated by Costa Cruises. The ship was built at Fincantieri's Sestri Ponente shipyard in Italy. The name Concordia was intended to express the hope for continued harmony, unity, and peace among the nations of Europe. This ship is the first ship in the Concordia class. Costa Concordia started sailing in July 2006, and it was the largest ship built in Italy, with a gross tonnage of 114,500 GT. The ship gained international attention on January 13, 2012, after it stranded off the coast of Isola del Giglio, Italy, which resulted in the evacuation of 4,000 people. At least 25 people died, 42 were injured, and 7 people were unknown.
Jatuh cinta dengan hebatnya padamu. Hingga kini ku belum mampu percaya kau milikku selamanya. Ku temukan arti cinta di waktu hidup denganmu. Seperti nadimu yang selalu denyutkan setia, aku bahagia menjadi pemiliknya. Bagaimana bisa aku jatuh cinta berulang kali? Kasih kau tetap di sampingku di tengah kencang badai hidup menerpa. Saat dunia memaksamu untuk pergi, kau tetap setia. Ku temukan cinta di waktu hidup denganmu yang tak terduga, seperti nadimu yang selalu denyutkan setia. Aku bahagia menjadi pemiliknya. Bagaimana
listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia and Qatar cooperate to build 1 million houses. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's government is targeting to build 3 million units of decent housing for the people. Currently, the construction of the first 1 million houses is in progress. One of the steps to realize this target is to establish cooperation with the Qatari government. Indonesia and Qatar have agreed to cooperate through a government-to-government scheme by signing a memorandum of understanding regarding funding for the construction of 1 million homes for low-income people. The signing was carried out between Indonesian Minister of Housing and Settlement Areas Marwarar Sirait and Qatari investor Sheikh Abdul Aziz Al Thani, witnessed by President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta Wednesday, January 8. The agreement makes Qatar the first foreign investor to participate in the program to build 3 million homes for low-income people each year, which is one of President Prabowo Subianto's priority programs. Minister Marwarar Sirait said the program will use land owned by various institutions and ministries, among others the assets of state-owned enterprises and the Directorate General of State Assets of the Ministry of Finance. Government-owned PT Pembangunan Perumahan Persero Company allocates 26 hectares of land ready to be used to support the cooperation program for the construction of 1 million houses between Indonesia and Qatar. Corporate Secretary of the company, Joko Raharjo, in his statement received in Jakarta Saturday said they are committed to supporting the investment cooperation efforts of the Indonesian government with Qatar in realizing the construction of 1 million houses. He said, through this support, the company is committed to playing an active role in carrying out construction for the 1 million houses. Joko Raharjo also explained the lands that are ready to be used are located in the Jabodetabek area, West Jawa, Yogyakarta, and Pekanbaru. He is optimistic that it can be one of the driving forces of the realization of the 1 million houses program resulting from the cooperation between Indonesia and Qatar. The company will also apply the principles of good governance and aspects of environment, social, and governance, which not only provide a competitive advantage for the company, but also support sustainable development in Indonesia. That was My Indonesia Today.
Andai aku bisa memutar waktu, aku tak ingin mengenalmu. Mengapa ada pertemuan itu yang membuat aku mencintaimu? cintamu yang mampu tanpaku bagaimana. Mungkin kini kau bersama yang lain, walau hati
you're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Banyuwangi never runs out of fascinating tourist destination, and one of them is the Jawatan Forest, located in Bencoluk Village, Klereng District, Banyuwangi. This 4-hectare forest is managed by Perum Perhutani Banyuwangi Selatan. It offers breathtaking views of giant rain trees that create a magical atmosphere similar to fantasy world. The canopy of these ancient trees forms enchanting natural corridors, making it one of the most photogenic spots in East Java. The Jawatan Forest, which was officially listed as a tourist attraction by the Banyuwangi Regency Tourism Office in June 2018, is only about a 45-minute drive from downtown Banyuwangi and very easily accessible by road. In addition to admiring the beauty of the centuries-old rain trees, visitors can enjoy various exciting activities such as taking of photos, picnic, or even exploring the forest by riding a horse-drawn carriage or horseback. During the morning and late afternoon, sunlight streaming through tree branches creates a dramatic visual effect, making this best time to visit. The facilities at the Jawatan Forest are quite complete. There is a spacious parking area, food stalls offering local dishes, as well as toilets and a prayer room for visitors' convenience. This place is also ideal for families who want to enjoy the natural atmosphere while relaxing. Don't forget to bring your camera to capture the beauty of every corner of this forest.
Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Sudah di kepala dua, harus mulai dari mana? Ambisiku berkecolak, antusias tak karuan, banyak mimpi-mimpi yang kan ku kejar. Lika-liku perjalanan, terjebak sendirian. Tumbuh dari kebaikan, bangkit dari kesalahan, berusaha pendamkan kenyataan bahwa takut tambah dewasa, takut aku kecewa, takut tak seindah yang kukira.
Aku sudah kecewa, memang tak sempurna.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Anyway, today's topic is about the Perusahaan Ekspedisi. The Perusahaan Ekspedisi, which means a shipping company. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation about per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a staff at a shipping company in Semarang. The staff told Chris the fee of shipping his motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. I'm going to say each word 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Biaya, which means fee. Pengiriman, which means shipping. Dari Semarang, which means from Semarang. Ke Palangkaraya, which means to Palangkaraya. Rp1.300.000. Rp1.300.000, which means Rp1.300.000. Per, which means each. Sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor, which means the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. Berapa biaya, which means how much is the fee. Mengirim, which means to send. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Which means, the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. In the sentence, there is the phrase per sepeda motor, which means for each motorcycle. The word per, which means each, which divides each one of the sepeda motor, or motorcycle.
Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions per.
Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000.
Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Which means membership in this gym is Rp100.000 per month.
Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang.
Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang. Which means the movie ticket is Rp50.000 per person.
For your information, Indonesian term for a two-wheeled vehicle is sepeda motor, sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. However, most Indonesians call motorcycles as motor, motor, which means motor. In some other regions, they call it kereta, kereta, which actually means train. Even some call it with certain motorcycle brands.
Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or let's speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about per sepeda motor. Per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Hidup milih dia yang ku cinta.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, at RI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a beautiful keroncong piece titled Bunga Abadi or Eternal Flower, performed by Ayub Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group. The song, written and originally performed by Rio Clappy, was released on March 1, 2024. The song tells a heartfelt story about meeting someone truly special. Through the song, Rio Clappy celebrates the magic of love and expresses gratitude for the people who bring joy and meaning to our lives. It's a gentle reminder to cherish the relationship we hold dear and embrace the true essence of love. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Ayu Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group with Bunga Abadi. Happy listening. listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
だからこれはボイスオフ Indonesiaです。日本語で放送されているボイスオフ Indonesiaは、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、さまざまな情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LED デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。Selamat malam, konbanwa. Listener 皆さん、今日私、Eさんが日本語放送をお送りします。